This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
It's a privilege and honor to be here this morning to share the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just quickly touch on this before I move on. Just to expose how Satan is a liar. God will never give you more than what you can handle. He would never. I said that earlier. The reason why he's allowing you to go through it, because he knows you can handle it. And people are going to see, it's like, my God, I see the struggle, the pain, what they're going through, and they're still in love with Jesus. I want that. I don't want religion. I want relationship. Tell me, how do I get this? You know why? Because they're listening. They're observing. They're watching your life. Hallelujah. And God, and whatever the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn around and use it for his good. That's why I say, God, you're good. Even when it's bad, looks bad, feels bad, God, you're still good. Because I know through this, God, you're going to get the glory. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right. I want to talk about another story about Paul. And Paul has some stuff on him. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. It talks about the time when Paul was pleading with the Lord. It says, three times... Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 12, 8, 9. Oh, they beat me to it. Praise the Lord. They're on it like on it. Concerning the things I plead with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Paul said this because Peter denied three times. But he say, Lord, but me, Charlie, I'm not denying you. I won't deny you, but... Lord, just, I know you're not keeping track, Lord, but this is the third time. Could you take this from me? Because it's been hurting. And we know the story of the thorn that was in Paul. Three times I asked. Three times, Lord, I'm asking. Because it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. I was in prison. They set me free. I've gone to Ephesus. I was faithful. I was obedient. I went to Jerusalem. I'm still preaching the gospel. I went to Greece. I'm still preaching the gospel. I don't know how I got here. But God, I'm going through some stuff right now. It hurts. I want to be more effective for the kingdom of God. But it hurts. Can I bring it in modern times? It hurts, God. Could you please take this from me? Can we relate when we're going through something and we feel like, okay, no more, no mas. I get it, Lord. I get the understanding. I get the lesson. Can we move on? Could you take this pain? God, we just went through Thanksgiving. I stuffed my face and I love it. But God, the pain is still there. It hurts. Christmas, it's hurting even more because all my credit cards are maxed out. Ouch, it hurts. It's hurting more. New Year's is coming up. The 15 pounds that I try to lose all year, I gained additional 15 pounds. God, it hurts. It hurts on top of the hurt. It's a wound on top of the wound. The new year is coming around. I don't even want to think about the new year. Am I going to still be hurting with this thing that I'm dealing with? God, please take it from me. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. The reason why I'm painting this picture, because a lot of times we read something, we just go, and we're just trying to get to the point, and then we read and say, well, that's why I don't read, because I don't get nothing of it. But if you put yourself in the Word, and you kind of break it down and say, God, how was that to me? Because there's times when I beg you, God, more than once. We could be pleading with God three times an hour. Watch this. Before I go to verse 9. You see, the presence of pain does not mean the absence of grace. The presence of pain does not mean the absence of grace. Verse 9 says, but he said to me, watch this. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God didn't say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go and take that from you. He says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord responded, my grace is sufficient. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever discomfort, whatever pain you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. See, there will be times that God will not remove the thorn. Listen to this. But he will touch the thorn with his grace. Y'all quiet. God will not remove. He didn't remove the pain, the discomfort, whatever it is that Paul was dealing with. But God will touch it with grace. You know how I know? Because Paul continued to fight. Paul continued to move on. And that's why we got the rest of the epistles that Paul wrote, even though he was in prison, but he kept on. Because he knew that he wasn't finished. God wasn't finished with him yet. And a lot of times we think because we're going through the pain and the struggles and the emotions that it gives us the right where we can pull back. But it's not a time to pull back. It's a time to continue to pray and pray. This is how I fight my battles. Let's read it again. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Until you put God in it, grace will fill it. Until you put God in whatever it is that you're dealing with it, then grace will fill it. Because a lot of times we're trying to fix the problem. Well, I got money in my account. I have a marriage. I got kids. I have a husband. I got this. I got that. And I'm trying to find resources that will fix my issue. It helps, but it's still there. It still hurts. It's only temporarily. And we try to fix things on our own. And we can do it and we can keep on doing it, but it's a matter of time when you find out, I've run out of resources. I've tried everything, but if you put God in it, then grace will now be able to come and fill. Any times in your life where you feel where, you know what, you try to play God? Well, I'm gonna do this. Watch. If I do this, she's going to. Or if I do this, he's going to. And we don't pray. And we don't seek. And all of a sudden, God says, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. I'm gonna wait when you're ready. And when you're ready, then I'll go ahead and bring my grace and I'll fill it up. I know there's been times in my life where I try to think, work things out until when I find myself I'm weak, then I'm crying and begging God and pleading with God. God says, okay, I've been waiting for you. Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So we need to stop trying to fix things on our own. It's easy. When something breaks, you fix it. But when you know when there's things that you know only God can come in and help. The comforter wants to help, but he won't come if you don't ask. He won't. He's just waiting and waiting and waiting until we finally said, and finally we are weak and God knows it, then he says, okay, now I'll come in and do what I can do and only what I can do. Remember the story of the woman with the blood issue? For 12 years, 12 long years. Man, it's just kind of, okay, she had a blood issue. She had a hemorrhage. It just kind of rolls all off her back. But for the ladies, for the women and men, we kind of deal with it too. But when the ladies, when they have their period, you know, it's kind of like the men kind of just, okay, I need to stay away. But the women go through the most discomfort because it's all day, right? But could you imagine 365 days a year for 12 years, that pain over and over? She spent all her money. The Bible says she spent all her resources to every doctor in town. They just looked, examined, and she says, man, I got to sell my iPhone. I got to sell my iPad. I got to sell some of my shoes. I know I don't want to get rid of some of my stuff, but you know what? My health is more important. And she spent everything, all her life savings. My parents, they saved some money so I can go to college. I saved all that. I got rid of all that because I'm tired of going through the pain of what I'm going through. Sometimes we go through things and we don't understand why we go through it. But before it got better, the scripture says it grew worse. But she said one day she heard Jesus was coming in town. Just like, anybody go to concerts still? Yeah. When you hear they're coming to town, it's like, I'm there, I'm going, I'm in. Well, she says, Jesus is in town. I said, man, I've been hearing about this Jesus. She says, and when he comes, I'm going to just, if I could just touch the garment, the hem of his garment, just right at the edge. Notice she didn't say, if I could just touch his shoulder or if I could just touch his back. You know what? I'm not worthy. I'm going to just get on my knees and just touch his feet or his little toe, something. No, she says, I'm not worthy. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, because I know the garment is on him, but if I could just touch it, I will be healed. And the Bible says when she did it, boom, she felt it. And Jesus says, who touched my clothes? And the disciples say, ¿cómo que? What you mean? Ever been a Black Friday where you're all like packed sardines and once those doors open, all of a sudden, everybody's just... That's how it was when Jesus came, because everybody just wanted to get close to Jesus. I don't know how she did it, but she was able to break through that crowd to get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment. And I know for a fact she hid, because when Jesus said, who touched my clothes? He's looking around and there's nobody responding. And they're going to put up the scripture. I love what Mark says in Mark 33, because it does not give an account in Matthew, Luke, or John. It says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him. Watch this. And told him the whole truth. Those two words, she told him the whole truth. She said, Jesus, can I tell you a story? I want to tell you the whole truth. This is why I came and did what I did. It was me that touched you. But let me tell you the whole truth. See, 12 years ago, when I was being raised up, all my friends, they grew up. And I got to see them. They went to school. They graduated. Some went to college. Some got married. Some started a family. I hear stories, they're on vacation. And I see they got everything. But me, Jesus, I'm here alone. They looked at me as an unclean woman. I was like a woman who had leprosy. Whenever there was a party, a birthday party, I wasn't invited because I was considered unclean. I've never had my first kiss, Jesus. I don't know what it's like to be touched. I never had a first boyfriend. And everybody, I get to see what everybody's going through. And I see everybody excelling. But Jesus, I gave everything that I saved for so I can get better, because I want to be like that. I want to be normal. I want to be normal. And she's telling the whole truth. And some of us, we're going through things. I don't know what it is you're going through. Maybe you're comparing yourself with others. And if only I had this husband, oh, my life would be better. And you don't know the hell that's going underneath that household. But she's giving him the whole story, the painful story for the 12 years that she's going through. Watch this. And bringing it to modern turn, a little bit more modern, I should say. Jesus, I come to Celebration Church, and I kind of sit more in the back. And I hear the word, and it helps me. Every time I come, it heals me. I feel healed. And those things that I've been wanting to go, God, you touch me. And I hear about Jesus, and I get healed. But when I'm back there, nobody notices me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody acknowledges me. Nobody welcomes me. And I'm not talking about the welcome greeters. I'm talking about the church. I feel like God wants to awaken the church. And I'm talking about myself. I know I'm always back here on drums and all that. And sometimes I say, man, if I could, I'd just run off those drums and just say, you know what? I've noticed you. I know you've been faithful. I know you're coming out. Keep coming out. Because sometimes that's all they're looking for. Acceptance. She's telling the whole truth. I feel alone and I feel rejected. And that's why I came to touch. Because I know what I have, only you can touch. Because if you touch it, I know whatever's there will leave and go. Because I'm tired of the state of the condition of where I'm at. And that one woman, that one man that is here, nobody wants nothing to do with me. Nobody talks to me. That's why I feel earlier when I said, if God touches you just to step out of the lobby before the end of service, because you know, before the service ended, they like to sneak out. I know, I see it. Just want to sneak out. They won't notice. I notice. The speaker notices. Our leadership notices. It'll be awesome one time when all our staff just goes out there right at the doors and just kind of do one of these. Says, you ain't leaving until I get a hug. We love people. You know why we're here? Because we love people. You know why I'm here? Because I love people. You know why I'm ministering the Word of God? Not because I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, because I know I'm not. And if I am that chip, I'm the chip that fell down on the floor. But glory to God, I'm glad someone like my daughter will pick it up and go, I said, thank you, baby. I left that for you. Yeah, there you go. 5-second rule. I got 5 on it. But nobody talks to me, Jesus. She was hidden. She's hiding. Who touched me? I don't want to come out. Watch this. Watch this. I got my healing. I came what I came for. Watch this. Now I'm talking to it. This is the other side of the coin. I come to celebration. I got my healing. My marriage is better. But when it comes to tithe, I'm going to hide. Giving? Oh, I'm just going to come back here and hide. Wait, I'm going to come over here. You can't see me. Camera can't see me. Oh, I'll go back here. Yeah. And the Lord says that thou shalt give 10% of the tithe. My wife was talking about, and I know Pastor Liz, she oversees the children's department, and I pray for her a lot of times because I know that's a tough job. It's easy to come and pray, and thank the Lord. But she's out there making sure that these little ones' diapers are getting changed, making sure there's diaper supplies, there's wipey supplies, there's material. When the DVD breaks, got to get another DVD because the kids' attention span is only about 5 seconds. So you got to put a DVD movie so they can shut up, put them up and shut up. Just watch the movie. I love it when my daughter says, can I watch? Yeah, baby, come on. Which movie you want? It's going to get quiet in this place for a little bit. Hallelujah. Coming back. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you. Maybe he's calling you to help out in the nursery. Come on, after all, if they're wiping your baby's behinds, why not be able to wipe someone else's behind? Well, all my kids are growing up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come out of hiding. Why are you hiding? You're anointed. You have the hands to wipe. Some husbands like, get behind me. Say, I wipe diapers. I've, in my lifetime, I don't know, probably 10,000. I'm not afraid to wipe. And then when you didn't breathe in right, say, oh, you got a whiff of it. It's like, oh, Jesus. And I know my wife loves it because I'm not afraid of changing diapers. See, I come out of hiding. Oh, yeah, she smells. Okay, I'll change your diaper. But Why are we hiding? Church, why do we hide? We need ushers. We need door greeters. We need parking lot. We've been coming out for how many years? Why are we hiding? Who touched me? You got what you wanted. Hey. I don't know where that came from. You got your healing. Why do we want to hide? Here I am, Lord. Whom shall I send? Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll come. I know I stutter. I know I'm not the best speaker. I know I'm not the best looking guy. I know I'm not the smartest guy. Oh, I got this down. Because the devil used to lie to me. He says, you're not the smartest. He says, you're not the best looking guy. I know I'm not, but I was made in his image. I know I'm not the best speaker, but I know in that hour God will give me what to say. See, I combat the lies with the word. And guess who wins every time? The word. Not me, the word. Because I believe the word. If I speak the word and I release the word, guess what I receive? I receive the truth. And the truth will set you free. Church, we got to... I know I'm running out of time, but you know what? The Lord just has me on this. Come out of hiding. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. A lot of people that's always on that camera, you know why we don't do live feed during worship? Because all our camera operators are always up here doing this, or doing that. There's times I'm up on the camera and I'm like, praise God, I get to do camera. And I'm looking out, see, how much potential, how many people can actually come up here? What's your excuse? You get to sit on a seat. Well, I got to stand. No, you don't. You get a nice, comfortable chair. And you just watch this. Sup? Sup? It's not very hard. We need. This church needs more volunteers, more helpers. Say, I don't know how to do it. That's okay. We'll train you. Shoot. When you got that job, did you know how to do it? No. But you know they're going to pay you. Just train me and I'll do it. How much? $4 an hour? Sign me up. Well, you got to do this. I don't know how, but train me. And they do. They send you the training and you train and you train. And guess what? You're happy you're getting your $40 an hour. Can I tell you this? Since we're on the subject and the Lord won't leave me alone with it. While you're doing it, your account in heaven is growing and growing. And growing and growing. Watch this. When you finally get to heaven, when you see the streets of gold, say, Lord, where's my mansion? It ain't that hut right there. I don't know who's that, but it ain't my hut. I got a mansion. I'm not being arrogant and prideful, no. The Bible says that I go to prepare a place for you that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. I believe we're going to have mansions up there in heaven. Mansions, mansions, not little things, big things. My God, the fact that we're going to be walking on the streets of gold, some of you are already picturing coming with a pick and trying to break a little piece. You won't need to. Come out of hiding. Yeah, come out of hiding, get excited. I don't even know if that's what you said, but it rhymed, I like it. Come out of hiding and get excited for the things of God. Get up out of your funk. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. And I'm still here. And I'm still faithful. I'm still committed. And even when you're unfaithful, God remains faithful. What's your excuse now? Come on. I want to hear him. Come on, devil. There's times when I'm preaching and all of a sudden the devil just throws that in. I say, you know what? I'm going to touch on that because if you're throwing that at me, I know you've already hit it on a couple other people. Our place is to come out of hiding and come into the place where you say, man, I want to be used. I know you don't want to be used to be in the spotlight. It's obvious because we still need help. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You are more than what you think you are. Oh, man. You should have seen the years that I went through that. I said, God, you can't use me. You can't use me. I'll never forget. God just started downloading scripture. All of a sudden, I went to my room. Never forget that day. Got on my face, and I just started crying like a baby. I said, God, forgive me. All this time that I've taken for granted, I could have already stepped in to do what you've called me to do. And that is not just so much to preach, but just to serve. Good morning. Glad to see you. Hey, you know what? The Lord put in my heart, are you busy this week? I want to buy you coffee. I want to take you out to eat. I want to buy you lunch. I want to buy you dinner. That's how the church is going to grow. You want to see all these empty chairs? Every time I see empty chairs, that's a lie, devil. That's a lie, devil. That's a lie, devil. That's another lie, devil. That's fresh revelation. Every time I see a chair is because the devil has lied to someone. Because God's desire is none to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of truth. And here we speak the truth. We release the truth. And every time I see an empty chair, I see the devil is lying to someone. Let's fill this church. Let's invite. Well, you don't know. I've already invited them 30th time. So what? 31. Who knows? Maybe that's the one time they're finally going to come. Because maybe they're at their breaking point. That's all it takes. When they're finally at their breaking point and say, yes, you know what? I'll go. What time is it? And all of a sudden it's like, yeah. And then you get excited. Church. I'm not going to be able to finish it, but maybe this is what this service is for. Come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. You're seen, but you're still hiding. She hid in the group, but she wasn't invisible. But finally, she came out because she was, the Bible says that she was trembling and afraid. And here we go, verse 34, put it up there, and I'm done, I'm done. Are you okay? He said to her, watch this. Woman, no. The Bible is a story of, in a couple of verses up, it talks about the woman. This woman had a blood issue. But Jesus says, daughter, and this is what God told me to tell you. The reason why he said the word daughter is because those 12 years that the enemy stole, all those things that she desired, to be with her friends, to go to those parties, to experience her first kiss, to experience a marriage, to experience going to college, to be experienced, watch this, accepted, not rejected. All those years, God restored. So even though 12 years have gone by, God says, you get those 12 years, and you get a little 12 more years back. So he doesn't call her woman. Daughter. Come here, daughter. Daughter. Your faith. Not me. Your faith has made you well. Has healed you. Go in peace and be, and you're healed. And be healed of your affliction. Be healed of your suffering. Be healed of your discomfort. I could imagine what she felt when the touch of grace came down. It was an experience of the touch of grace that was the miraculous. A lot of times we hear about grace, we know about grace, but some of us, we need a touch of grace. Not just grace that we hear, we know, we see, but something that we feel and it becomes tangible. And she felt so good because she felt like everything that was taken, I get that and I get some more back. Everything that the crawling locust, chewing locust, consuming locust, God said, I will restore it. God is going to restore it. I'm out of time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you may experience a place where you felt like your life is in prison and you're trying to get out of whatever it is you're trying to get out, situation. Or maybe you're the one that's pleading, pleading, pleading again and again and again. God, take this from me. God, remove this from me. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're in a place where you feel like you need healing. And you want it so bad. And you feel that certain things, part of life, if I was just healed, I could feel normal. Or I could experience some of those things. But I'm in a place where I can't, because I want healing. This morning, I feel that those stories were orchestrated this morning so God can say, whatever it is that you're going, whatever category that you fit, you feel like you need a touch of grace. And only the touch of grace is going to help you to go through what you're going through. Or maybe you're not experiencing any of those three, but you know someone is. Can I say this? Could you stand in the gap? Could you be that bridge? Could you pray for them? Could you be in their place? So when that day comes, they will be sitting on your left or on your right. Not just them, but also their household. Because God wants you to be the witness. And God wants to see the next generation come through you this morning. I don't know what your shoe size is, but God does. And God is putting your size on this morning. I don't believe that you're going to leave this morning what God has released and act like God didn't do nothing, God didn't say nothing, or you weren't moved by anything. Not because of me. I didn't come up with this stuff. I just got to make it, bake it, and now I'm serving it. And whatever comes out of my mouth, I believe that whatever comes out of my mouth, that God is helping me. Because I know I would be doing other things, and it would have nothing to do with church, would have nothing to do with Jesus, would have nothing to do with people. But by the mercy of God, the grace of God, I'm here because He saved me, He delivered me. If you're here in this place, real quickly, if God has been speaking to you this morning, and this is private, that's why every head is bowed, every eye is closed, it's a reference to God. Real quickly, raise your hand if God has been speaking to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. We like to end our service, and we never like to end it without giving you the opportunity and experiencing Jesus. I want everyone in this building, inside these four walls, including on our stage, and anyone that can hear the sound of my voice, I want everyone to say this prayer. Say, Father, I believe in my heart that you gave your son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of all my sin. I believe in my heart that he rose on the third day and he lives forevermore. And if he lives, I live. And if he lives, I live. I live in him and him in me all the days of my life. I will walk, I will talk, and I will be ordered by your word. My future, my calling is secure, because if you are for me, it doesn't matter what's against me. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.